Far from being a tranquil spiritual retreat, for some children, the Mangrove Mountain Yoga Ashram near the New South Wales Central Coast was a place of physical and sexual abuse. For the first time, the Child Abuse Royal Commission is examining a non-mainstream institution and how it responded over several decades to allegations of child abuse at the hands of its spiritual leader. The inquiry has heard that the spiritual leader's partner facilitated and at times witnessed the abuse. One victim told the inquiry she's not received an apology nor an offer of compensation, and she's accused the ashram of shutting her down by deleting comments on social media, Emily Burke reports.
The alternative New Age lifestyle at Mangrove Mountain Ashram saw children separated from their parents, little conventional education, personal possessions renounced, and ties with the outside world largely cut. And the Royal Commission has been told that between the 1970s and 80s, teenage girls at the retreat were groomed and sexually assaulted in between worship, yoga practice, and hard physical labour. Alicia Buchanan explained to the Royal Commission that she was told the sexual abuse by the ashram leader Akandanand was part of her spiritual training.
He would order me into his quarters on a regular basis and direct me to pleasure him exactly how he wanted. He'd ask me if it felt good and whether I was devoted to him, which I found confusing and said yes, just to comply. On many occasions before or during molesting me, he threatened me with his hand hovering near my face, mimicking a slap, and told me I wasn't allowed to speak to anybody about it, especially my mother. He also reminded me that he had a gun and pointed to it standing in the corner, once taking its cover off and showing it to me.
Counsel assisting the inquiry, Peggy Dwyer, told the inquiry that much of the abuse occurred with the cooperation of Akandanand's partner, Shishi.
A particular child will be summoned by Shishi or another resident to attend on Akandanand to massage him, and the massaging would progress to sexual abuse. On many of those occasions, Shishi was in the room at the time the abuse occurred, although at other times she was sent away by Akandanand. I anticipate that the Royal Commission will hear that the relationship the children had with Shishi was complex, in that on the one hand, she was regarded by some at least as a motherly figure, and the children competed for her attention and favour, but that on the other hand, she could be brutal.
Alicia Buchanan detailed the long-term effects of the abuse.
As well as destroying my relationship with Mum, the ashram and my sexual abuse within it has made deep reverberations within my family too. I feel a sense of enormous burden and guilt that I have brought this bizarre and shameful story into our lives. It has made my life a difficult road upon which I have felt the need to look after others first, in order that they don't suffer or have their lives further disturbed by what I carry with me wherever I go.
Akandanand died in 1997, a few years after sexual assault convictions were overturned. But the ashram's response in recent years is also being examined. Alicia Buchanan is critical of the way the ashram has dealt with victims, especially those who've been sharing their stories on social media.
The deleting of posts in particular.
Yes.
We had started to speak about what had happened, and after so many years of silence, it was pouring out. And a public forum, of course, we didn't have anything like this in the old days, you know, so the social media and people which I'd never heard from contacting me and saying, thank you for, you know, that was actually the most powerful thing, you know, and it felt like we were being public. And then suddenly, bang, we were shut down. That's how I felt. I felt, you keep that story away from us. Let's just silence that. I have never received any meaningful, comprehensive or unqualified apology from any person in the ashram who represents them at the highest level. Besides some communications from people of lower standing in the movement, there has been only silence.
Today, the lawyer representing the ashram, Aaron Kernighan, delivered an apology.
We apologise for the failures of the ashram, its people, and its leaders throughout its history into the present day. We recognise that some may not believe our sincerity or doubt our intentions. We do not know how best to interact with survivors. We have attempted reconciliation and have often made mistakes and errors of judgment in those efforts. We are trying and hope to continue to try to play a role for anyone who is willing to have us. But we wish to be clear, For the abuse of our innocence, our most vulnerable members of our society and our children, we say sorry. We respect your survival, your strength, your individuality and your history.
Lawyer Aaron Kernaghan, ending Emily Burke's report.